Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is AppSats Radio, help for partners after sexual betrayal. We talk about it here.
Betrayal trauma.
We are AppSats certified clinical partner specialists and coaches who have been trained to help navigate you through this crisis. There is nothing we won't talk about.
Sometimes listeners want to know about triggers.
I'm dealing with the aftermath of my husband's affairs, and he still works the same job that he did when he was acting out. It's a job that allowed him to hide his goings-on and one that he stated was the previous trigger for his acting out. The whole 16 and a half years we've been together, he's acted out. In the beginning, what I thought it was just pornography. It ended up being, I found out 2.5 years ago, he had been with multiple prostitutes. I only found out a very small portion of that until about a month ago. How do you cope with all of that when you still have to deal with unavoidable triggers?
Well, of course you would feel traumatized by hearing all that information. And I got to tell you, Stephanie, that's a staggered disclosure. That's finding out little bits and pieces about your husband's behavior throughout a time period, making you feel insecure, unsure, and unsafe. So what we got to do is set up a situation whereby you get with a specialist to do a formal disclosure so you can hear everything at one time in a safe environment.
That is so right. We have come such a long way. It used to be that we didn't know that there was any type of therapeutic formal document and procedure to help partners get through the ordeal of knowing the truth. And yet what we know is that she wants that. She deserves that. That's part of working with couples on getting through betrayal. And so with Stephanie, we needed to set her up with a formal disclosure so she could hear everything at one time. You know, we are working so hard on figuring out what works for clinicians and coaches in the therapeutic and coaching environment. You know, what do they need to move clients and couples in the right direction? And today I am so excited to have Dr. Jake Porter on because he is my partner in crime. And we have completed and developed this incredible curriculum for clinicians and coaches to help couples heal. Dr. Jake, welcome to Betrayal Recovery Radio. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good morning. How are you, Carol?
Well, you know, it's a really interesting day. It is pouring like crazy. I'm hoping that we don't get any interruption in the show because this is an important show today. I mean, we are talking about this curriculum we developed to help couples work through and to the third stage of partner betrayal, which, of course, is post-traumatic growth. And so I am so glad to have you be my co-facilitator because let's face it, we've worked hard on this with our couples because we know couples work is so hard. And when it comes with betrayal, it exponentially makes it a lot harder. What do you love most about this concept and our training that we've got coming up September 28th?
Yeah, well, first of all, I just want to say thank you for inviting me along this fun ride because it's such rewarding work and like you're saying, such important work. You know, what I am really looking forward to about this particular training and the curriculum is how practical it is. I've got a part-time gig as a college professor, and so I love to geek out and get on the whiteboard and talk about the theory and the underpinnings and all this kind of stuff. And sometimes at the end of the day, I know that I've got a lot of great ideas out there, but nothing really tangible you know, not a real specific tool that I can go and do something with. That's not this curriculum. It's incredibly practical, and I think that those who are going to join us for it are going to walk away with some immediate interventions and tools that they can take to their clients.
Yeah, you know, we do this based on the APSATS model, and this training is being sponsored by APSATS. It's actually our training materials, but it is based on APSATS because they have done such an amazing job with their multidimensional partner-sensitive model of
right.
getting partners and couples to feel safe and stable. Of course, that's phase one. And then
yes.
doing the hard grief and anger and mourning that they need to in phase two. And then, of course, getting them to post-traumatic growth, which is the funnest part of this couple's work. But they don't
yes.
get over there until we work through one and two. Right, Jake?
That's right. That's right. A lot of people want to bypass that hard work of grief. But, you know, what I always tell the couples I work with is that grief is where the healing happens, right? It's hard. It's painful. It's uncomfortable. Some people feel like, you know, if they open that box, they don't know what all is going to come out. Or some people think, if I let myself feel that, I'll feel it forever. But it's such an important part of that process, that messy middle. And that is where the healing happens. And then, yes, that post-traumatic growth afterwards, where they really get to revision who they are individually and together. What is this relationship going to be? How am I going to show up? What do we want for ourselves? And get to dream big. You know, in fact, just earlier this week, I had a couple in my office who finally got to that place where we were having these conversations about what's your vision 20 years from now? Where do you want to, what do you see? You know, close your eyes, describe it to your partner. And it was so fun to hear her talk about a fishing boat and them together. And of course she was catching more fish than him, and getting to a place of laughing again. And I guarantee you this couple not too long ago thought that might not ever happen again. But it can happen. It really can.
Yeah, you know, what I want to say about professionals that have been working in this field is that most of them didn't know what they didn't know. They were doing the absolute best thing possible, doing the deep dive in the couple's work, but they hadn't developed the relational skills to work through these three phases. And in this premier training, you and I are helping couples therapists to realize they have to build the relational skills first. And that means
right.
that if anybody wants to know what are those relational skills, I'd like to see them before I decide whether I want to join the training. A lot of them come out of the Help Her Heal model, which is obviously the book that I wrote about teaching sex addicts empathy so that they can help their partners heal. And Jake, you and I both know, because we work so similarly, that if an addict who has caused all this collateral damage can walk back and say, I am here for you. Now that I'm in recovery, my brain is no longer as foggy and as so entangled in addiction, and I'm ready to be relational. So I will do this work with you. I'll hold your feelings for you, and we can get to that post-traumatic growth. If we teach them those relational skills, and she's a part of that, it actually helps his self-esteem too. And that boosts their ability to do this messy walk, as you put it, together. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I love that part of the work with couples too, where you know, maybe this addict, recovering now, he's sober. Like you said, his frontal cortex is coming back online, right? He's starting to feel things and all of this. And one of the things that they often feel so intensely is shame. right? That shame that creeps up, especially if they're in the situation where their partner is expressing her pain and he knows he caused her pain, oh, that shame starts getting dialed up. And they fall into that hole of shame. And what I tell them is, you know, the really nasty, toxic thing about shame is that it takes stuff that's really not about you and makes it all about you. And then if they can flip the switch and we can just help them learn, and there really are practical skills, practical tools to slow down and tolerate the distress that they're feeling around the shame, but not let it overcome them and stay present with their partner. It's a whole new way of living. And once they experience it one time, I'll look at these guys and I'll say, tell me right now, are you feeling like a failure? Well, no. Well, are you feeling like you can't ever be good enough? Well, no. Well, are you feeling like this is hopeless? No. Well, how did that happen? Well, I heard what she said, and I felt that with her. Oh, so you helped make that. She's feeling better. She's clearly relieved, and you helped make that happen. In other words, the antidote for his shame is in his experience of helping her heal. There's nothing more powerful than that, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. No, I absolutely agree too. And again, clinicians have been taught to just do that deep dive and get in there and make it better. And in this work, it is called IRCM, the Early Recovery Couples Empathy Model. In this certification, clinicians and coaches are going to learn how to apply the practical relational skills to the coupleship and what themes to look for. It's so interesting, Jake, that you talked about the client, because we've got a video of a woman who was doing the best she could to cope. She woke up one day and she felt so morose. She said to herself, is this what my life turned into? Is this all my life is ever going to be? And she decided to journal about it and to go to a 12-step meeting. And she came back and she was taking care of business, working on herself. And he could tell that something was going on. And it threw him into that shame state. And she said, What's up with you? And he said, you know, I can tell you're off. And he didn't contain her pain. He went into shame. And she said, darn it, look what you just did. I am working through something, and you have turned it around and made it all about you. And now I can't even feel my feelings and work through it because, as usual, in your real addict style, you have made it all about you. I don't care if it's shame or not. Now I have to focus on you. And that wasn't healthy for me. And I'm not doing that. And so as she shared that story about your client, those are some of the things that we're going to be looking at through the certification process. We're going to be looking for, is it all about the addict? We're going to be looking for, is she being dismissed by someone who's not in good recovery? We're going to be looking for, is and was this man's acting out a need to get relational with somebody else versus a habit disorder that just was created and now he can't get out of his old behaviors, his old compulsive sexual behaviors. So, I mean, we've got a lot of great videos. As Jake said, we got tools, techniques, and interventions from day one, which is safety and stabilization. How do you get them safe? Part of that is really looking at their wounding, their willingness, and their needs. Part of it is knowing how to give them exercises that will bring out the anger, the grief, the mourning. You know, because Jake, let's face it, a partner says, you know, was anything real? Was anything about our relationship real? And what don't I know? And what will my future look like? And can we ever heal? Because if we can't heal, I've got to reevaluate how I'm going to navigate our relationship. What do you think?
Right. Yeah, exactly. One of the, you know, as I was looking through the curriculum, one of the things that struck me is because it's structured around APSAT multidimensional partner trauma model, there's such a clear outline. You know, sometimes I, not just for clients, but for coaches and clinicians as well, we look at everything that has to be done. You know, this couple's in this terrible shape, and they just seem so broken and hurt, and oh my goodness, where do we start? You know, it's like eating an elephant. But when you have that clear plan and to be able to hone in on these necessary relational skills, but to do it in a way that is sensitive to the overarching treatment approach and need, right? There's kind of a storyline to the treatment, you know, with safety and stabilization first, and then that grief work, and then the post-traumatic growth. I just think that this is going to be a powerful experience, not just for the clients who are eventually going to receive the benefit of the training, but for the coaches and the clinicians themselves as they move through it.
Oh, yeah, this is forever going to alter how they work with couples. You know, if you're a coach, how you can support a couple as they're doing their work. What exercises can you do in your office, or in this case, virtually? Because, you know, a coach and a clinician are very, very different. And obviously, clinicians want to practice therapeutic approaches. And coaches cannot do that, but they certainly can do exercises that clarify for their couples what they will need to focus on with their therapist and in their life. And so we do a lot of differentiating. You know, this is something that you as a clinician need to attend to. And coaches, here's where you can veer off and support that work with your clients so that they're ready when they're working with, we say, IRCM certified professionals. You know, it's such a weird acronym, IRCM. But truly, it's the Early Recovery Couples Empathy Model, and empathy is where it's at. And so many clients, so many sex addicts have said, I wish I would have had your book 10 years ago. I wish I would have learned these skills. You know, Jake, I never, ever work with a client who isn't in two chairs facing each other, knees to knees. That automatically makes the communication deeper, and it takes it to that next level. And yet, how many clinicians and coaches do that? Very few, and that's where we're going to be making a difference and talking about some techniques that'll catapult your clients into better communication and connection.
You are so right. That one change, I remember when I made that change in the way I work with couples. Like before, they're both sitting on a couch. Who are they looking at? Me, right? They're looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
And just the physical layout of the room and the physical sort of setup of how we were arranged lended itself to me being a mediator, me being the conduit for this couple. And that's not what we want. We want to help the couple function, you know, clinically we would say as a dyad, right? In other words, one two-person system. We want to build their ability to do that. So, yeah, facing each other, eyeball to eyeball, knee to knee, speak directly to each other. Not, you know, if I say it once, I bet I say it 100 times a day. Tell her that. No, say that to him. Say that to her, not to me. Tell her. She's right there. But little tiny tweaks like that add up to major changes over time, right? You know, with empathy, which is such a crucial part of this model and the curriculum, what we know about empathy is that it really is that magic ingredient in trust building. Think about our clients, Carol, who maybe they've already done a disclosure. He's passed the polygraph. He's going to meetings, right? Check, check, check all the boxes. But if he's not showing empathy in that relational space between his betrayed partner and himself, he could be doing behaviorally all the other things right. But without the empathy, the safety's still not there.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people, you know, that with, you know, believing he loves you isn't enough to believe that he won't hurt you again. She might know you love her. That may not be the question. Love alone won't do it. I need to understand that you love me and that you understand at a heart level how you hurt me. Because if you love me but you really don't get how you hurt me, you might do it again. But if you love me and you understand at that heart level, not intellectually, emotionally, how I hurt, now it's easier to believe you won't do it again. And that's empathy.
That really, really is empathy. And so obviously this training is for clinicians and coaches to understand what they can do to not just jump into the devastation that the couple is feeling, but to begin to talk about things in their life from a relational perspective that promotes safety and stabilization. Of course, in phase two, promotes grief where he can actually contain her pain and help her to not go into shame and hear the anger. We've got some good anger exercises coming into play here where they are intense. We've got video that shows it. Jake and I are going to do some work together to show clinicians and coaches. I mean, when I had to pick who I was going to have facilitate this course, my first pick was Jake Porter because he has done such a phenomenal job at helping couples heal in his own practice and with his own practitioners. And, you know, you got an incredible following, but there is something about your ability to empathize with anybody, whether it's another clinician, another coach. Yeah. No, you were born with that. I don't know. It was probably strengthened by your pastoral upbringing, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of you were a pastor, are a pastor,
yeah.
and then to be, wasn't it you were a pastor first and then a clinician?
Yes, I was a pastor for 13 years. I pastored my home church, a little small town in Texas, and just in 2017, I left pastoring to do clinical work full time. And part of that as well, mixed in, there's my own journey of recovery and the work I've had to do on myself. And, mm-hmm. you know, empathy starts with being in touch with your own emotions. If I'm not in touch with my own pain and my own fear and my own sadness, my own sense of loss, my own anger, how can I ever connect with someone else's, right? And mm-hmm. that's another part of this process as well. We have to help these addicts in early recovery begin to access their own emotions so that they can be open to holding their partner's emotions. And so there's a really beautiful, I think, symmetry between that internal work for me, but it's not just for me, it's also for my partner. Which is something that I say to my couples all the time, that it kind of makes them scratch their heads sometimes because it may not necessarily align with what they've heard in the traditional 12-step world. And that's that at the end of the day, if one of your goals is to save this marriage, and if you're both in it to win it, I'm setting aside if the addict won't get sober or if there's an ongoing abuse going on, setting that aside, they're both in it to win it. If that's the case, you never have to choose between what's best for you and what's best for your relationship, because what's best for your relationship is what's best for you. That is a fundamental paradigm shift that will change the trajectory of an individual's recovery and, therefore, a relationship's recovery.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned it, you know, again, we said clinicians and coaches don't know what they don't know if they haven't been taught that partner-sensitive model that APSTAPS teaches, and also mm-hmm. if they haven't done the work that we're promoting, which are the relational skills just packed with empathy. But the other thing that we really know is that there have been so many well-meaning support systems that also didn't know what they didn't know.
Right.
And so 12-step work was based on AA, and that really meant you do your work over here. Partners, you get over on that other side of the road, and you do your work, and in a couple years, we two can get back together and maybe begin some clinical work.
Oh.
And the truth of the matter was, yeah, we believe, and APSATS believes, that this model that we're teaching, IRCAM, promotes that you work with a couple from day one. You know, I don't see an addict or a partner by him or herself unless the partner wants that for some unusual reason. I see them together from day one so that I can explain my process and I can get their buy-in and I can suggest some resources right off the bat. And I can let each one of them see how I navigate the other person and how I believe so much in the coupleship. Now, if for some reason she doesn't want to come in, that's A-okay. Or mm-hmm. if she hears what I have to say and she says, I need to wait, that also is okay. I believe that the partner is in the driver's seat when this has happened to their relationship. And so she gets to make the rules, but I still have to make suggestions that I believe are therapeutically safe and promote healing. And so, Jake, I just want to do a coaching thing with you because you are a coach, correct?
I'm also a coach, yeah.
Yeah, I know. You're a pastor. You're a clinician. You were a pastoral sex addiction clinician, and then you became a certified licensed practitioner. So you've done it all, been there. I love the fact that you've been in recovery because you really get it, and you're also a role model for men and women to know how to do this better. And then I'm a clinician, and I'm a coach, and I really integrate some of my coaching principles into this certification. Mm. And so I have a big coaching principle that I want to share with our listening audience, because what I know to be true is we're trying to appeal to the clinicians and coaches here and tell them why this certification is groundbreaking and premier in its presentation. But the other thing I know is that we've got listening audience who are betrayed partners. Oftentimes they make their husbands listen to this show because it does come from that partner perspective. And I want to ask them, I want to ask our listening audience to go back to your counselors, to go back to your coaches, and ask them to take this training. Again, to take this training requires that they go to the APSATS website, and that is APSATS.org, and then go to the training tab, which right now we're at the top of the training because we are their next training. And again, this is not an APSATS program, but APSATS has been so gracious to sponsor us because they know that this is the work that they want to promote. So go to that training tab and have your counselors and professionals, if you're getting pastoral counseling, you know, have them come to that training tab and look up our information, because You've got to go in for the big ask when you're a client. And I always go in for the big ask as a professional and just as a person. And you can spread the word to the community out there. You can tell your 12-step group about this premier training. You can't do it during the meeting, but let's face it, Jake, the meeting occurs before, during, and after the meeting. So you can talk about this
That's
thing
right.
and spread the word. Or Jake might have said, spread the gospel of what we are preaching, because we know this work will change your lives, and we've got to get to the counselors and the coaches to make that happen. Right, Jake?
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. Yeah, I really believe that this can take clinicians and coaches who have the heart but not the knowledge and give them really powerful knowledge. And then it can also take coaches and clinicians that are already very good at what they do and take them from good to great and make them even better, even more effective. I mean, I'm not ashamed to say that as I was walking through the curriculum, Carol, there were things you wrote in there, and I was like, oh, my goodness, this is brilliant. I'm going to use this tomorrow. So
we can all grow.
We can all grow and learn and sharpen our skills and hone, you know, what we do. And so I'm just excited to watch this happen. You know, even when I was a pastor, like my approach to ministry, it's good to go do a mission trip, but I was always looking at sort of the bulk level. Instead of me going, you know, to this village, what if I go and help train pastors from that country, you know, so they can go out and reach way more people than I could ever reach myself. And it's the same sort of mentality and that makes me excited about this certification. Way more people out there that you and I, Carol, we could never directly reach that many, but my goodness, if we can help train up this army of helping professionals, oh, the power of that number as they go out on the front lines and help couples heal, that's exciting.
Well, that is such a good point, and I want to just reference and mention that, you know, we know that this work has to get out there, and we are two facilitators that say, we're going to build it, and they will come. And right now I'm writing a book on helping them heal, and it's for couples. But, you know, one of the beauties of this work is if I write it for couples, clinicians and coaches will read it. And it's kind of like I wrote Help or Heal for the sex addicts, and what I found was that the wives were reading it too. And I have to tell you, my very first podcast that I originated was the first podcast on sex addiction in the world. And it happened in 2007. There were no other podcasts, not a one. And I wanted to do it, but I was a little nervous about doing it. I had done radio. And radio is so safe, and you have a producer, and he listens to the callers, and I couldn't have that kind of show on the internet because there were too many pranksters. So that meant I had to do experts in the field. And it began for me to be a one-hour workshop or training experience where I was learning about the different programs and projects and theories out there that I didn't know. We were always learning, and I was one of those people that didn't know what I didn't know. And 1 year into my podcast, I decided to look at the demographics. I looked at it for the first month, and the first week I had 34 listeners. The next week I had 3,000 listeners. And by the end of the month, I had 40,000 listeners. Now I haven't even looked lately. Last time I looked, 980,000 listeners. And you and I both know there are some amazing podcasts out there. I mean, way better than mine. Mm-hmm. But I still love saying I was the grandmother of podcasting. And just to bring this story home, so 1 year into this, I took a look at the demographics, and 51% of my listening audience were women. And I knew, I got cold chills. And then I knew, oh my gosh, these are not female sex addicts. These are wives trying to understand what happened to them and what is going on with their husband. And they were looking for hope. And that was what was giving me the cold chills, is that my podcast was a way for them to seek hope, hear about it. And I just thought the emails I were getting were from, obviously, women that had questions. I didn't realize that now over half of my listeners were not sex addicts. They were the wives. And that started me on a trajectory of, I got to help partners too. And now they're just bringing home. About 2 years into it, I had Barbara Steffens on talking about APSATS, and she was the president of the APSATS Institute. And, you know, she was talking about how to help partners. And what I knew was that I was still pretty much working with sex addicts and on occasion bringing in their partners, because I have always believed I don't want to work in a vacuum. I don't want to work with just one person. I want their family members or their support systems in my office occasionally so that I can access support. And so when I had Barbara on and I realized that there was an organization devoted to partner sensitivity, I said, I got to have that. And so that has changed the way I've worked with partners, addicts, and now couples. And I'm hoping, I know that this premier training, that again is September 28th through October 1st, this four-day groundbreaking premier training on empathy and early recovery couples work, is going to change the way we work with couples forever. I know that in my heart. Build it and they will come. Yeah, what do you think, Jake?
Yeah. I'm right with you. I'm right with you. I mean, this has become really, in terms of professionally, this has become my passion, which is funny, and lots of the folks on my team like to remind me of this, because they remember the days when I said, no, I'm not going to do couples work. No, I'm not going to see couples. And they actually remember the days when I used to say, no, I'm not going to work with partners. Give me the guy. Just put the guy in front of me. That's all I'm going to do. And oh, my goodness, other plans were out there. You know, first it was one betrayed partner who I started to support, and oh, my goodness, how that opened my heart. And then that one partner begged me, oh, can't you see my husband and me at the same time, please? Okay, you know, and working with them was such a joy and an honor, and to watch. It's just an exponential sort of healing, not just for them individually, but to see them heal together. And I was hooked. So, yeah, doing this training is in some sense a culmination of a real passion that I have in this work.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I got to tell you, I had a similar experience, but for a very different reason. I didn't want to work with couples because it's the hardest damn work in the world, just in general. And so
yes.
I didn't want to work with couples. And I always said you could make the most money in mediation with divorced couples. If I wanted to make money, that was what I needed to look at. And I thought, I'm not doing that. I'm not working with couples that hate each other. And so when I began to get into this work, it was scary. You know, you were talking about, I don't know how you said it, but it was kind of like the hope and the glow of the coupleship. And the truth of the matter is, when I got couples into my office hating each other, they were devastated. He might be doing great work and she wouldn't notice it. She was not going to notice this. She was too hurt. She was too devastated. She was not going to reward good behavior. She was steadfast in her rage because he had hurt her so badly. And I remember having heart palpitations like, oh my gosh, you know, will she ever be able to get better? And then again, I learned the APSATS model, and then I started taking this work and chunking it down into early recovery couples work and teaching those relational skills. And couples stopped being so angry, and they really did start to listen to each other. And you and I both know that negotiation and compromise is a relational skill that all couples need, not just betrayed partners and addicts, but that is what we really want to get our couples to do. But there's been so much trauma and drama that they're steadfast in not wanting to give and take. It's too painful. And so again, clinicians and coaches out there, to our listening audience that wants to get better, this is an amazing resource for the people that you work with. Tell other professionals about this course, because this will be a safe and stable way to start the change of couples work and couples restoration and post-traumatic growth. And I promise you, now, you know, as a therapist, I'm never supposed to make a promise, but I promise you that this relational work sets the stage for growth and change and restoration. And that's all I've got to say about that. Is there anything else you want to say before we wind up the show?
I just want to say again, thank you for inviting me to be on this journey with you and to team up with you. It's an honor. Thank you to APSAT, really for everything that amazing organization does, but also for getting behind this training and helping us get the word out there. And if someone's on the fence, you know, if someone's on the fence, I would invite them, talk to me, email me. I'm easy to get a hold of, jake@daringventures.com. I'd be happy to share more with you or just talk with you to go ahead and sign up and join us.
Well, and we are offering this training, this 4-day training, and there is an early bird special. So you want to get on that tab and register now to get $100 off. And it's not only a training, but it can work into a certification. And so we're going to ask, if you want to be certified IRCM professionals, that you take 10 hours of supervision with us. And we do that because we really believe that you need to establish the relationship with us when you do get stuck. And I'm 65 years old, and I've got supervision with my supervisor today at 11. I mean, good professional, if you are a clinician or coach worth something very special, you're going to want to get ongoing supervision. And we offer that at a discount rate as well, because we want to help you with this journey, on your journey, you know, really for the rest of your life. So thanks for listening. Thanks for going to APSATS.org. Again, that's APSATS.org. Go to that training tab and get that early bird special. Tell your counselors and coaches about it today. Put it on your list. Put it in your purse. Put it in your wallet so you don't forget. We want to see all of you there on September 28th through October 1st. Jake Porter, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Carol. It's always a pleasure. I love to be with you.
I'm telling you, I've had this man on my boat. I've had his wife with us. We've gone to dinner. It's a mutual love fest for our clinical work.
Yes.
And see that in the spring, too. So you make it a great weekend, Jake, and give that baby a big kiss for me.
I sure will, and you have fun with Boo. Get on that boat for me.
It's a deal. Talk to you later. Thanks, Jake.
Bye-bye.
Porter, my co-facilitator in this certification program, the Early Recovery Couples Empathy Model, IRCM. Can't say enough good things about about it. It's a premier training. It's never been done. I am so jazzed about doing it. I'm so jazzed about having Jake. And I want you on this road with me. Because what do I always say? There will only be one of you at all times. And I want you to fearlessly have the courage to make a difference in this world and help couples heal. Whether you're the couple, him or herself, or you're a coach or a clinician listening to the show. We all can make a difference. We all do. And there's more to come. Thank you, APSATS, for all you do.